It's the Max Show. I press record. Yes, it is the Max Show. We're here to discuss.
Cast them. Sorry. I'm excited.
It's the Max Show without the dickhead Carl Swagger starting the show off for us. that's not going to help with one of the reviews we've got this week, I can tell you. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, such as it's been. What a panel. It's a packed house tonight. The bar order and the whip for the beer is superb at the pub tonight. Starting us up, top left, Kelly G.
Hey.
How's it going, woman?
Pretty good, now that I've had a early morning dose of Beavis and Butthead, courtesy of Kyle Swagger.
Excellent, yes. it was enjoyable before we started. I've got some Eastern style of fornication. next to her, it's Adam from the closet. How you doing, bud?
I'm hanging out in the closet, as always, every week.
You were on time today.
What? I was up on time, yes.
Yeah.
Because it started raining about 5 a.m. and water started coming into my house, so I was dealing with that.
Oh, no.
So jealous.
Yeah, no. best of luck with that, mate. I do apologize.
It didn't even rain that much. That's the scary part. So I got a call. We had some doors installed, and they're obviously not sealed properly. So
fair enough.
I'll be dealing with that later this afternoon.
Excellent. Excellent. Next to him, it's Greenie Boy.
Hello, chap.
How the devil have you been on, man?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Yourself?
Now, you didn't quite make it off the train last week, did you?
No, I got in about 5 o'clock.
I'd like to say we'd started by that point, but we hadn't. No, I'm joking. what's been happening? Just working?
Yeah. So my work life is interesting. It's exciting at the moment. I'm getting into big data. It's all about big data. It's all cloud and big data combined, all around that sort of Google, that lovely Google thing.
You want to talk to Cliff. He runs Cliff Brayton on Twitter. He runs the Hartwell Center, which is like a massive supercomputer that does big data.
Ah.
And he was going to give away 1 million hours of CPU time on that as a prize. But
It's a funny thing how the old big data, the pricing model is, you know, whether it's subscription or whether it's per second or whether it's per kilobyte or megabyte or whatever. It's something new, isn't it? I mean, I was talking to a client on Tuesday, and it was something like 60,000, you know, for want of a better word, data entries or data packets per second. That's just per second. And this is in London. And, yeah. I really find it interesting, this sort of, you know, I'm into cloud. I've been doing cloud for quite a while anyway, and the whole sort of Google stuff. But the idea of computing the cloud and taking that sort of compute workload from a company, or maybe they're doing a SQL engine in their crappy old sort of Microsoft.NET world, and taking it totally out and then giving the most amazing compute possibilities and function that they never had before. I just find it fascinating. So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Are you doing like Mongo or something like that?
Second, dude.
Huh?
Say again.
Are you doing like Mongo or something like that? MongoDB, Hadoop?
It's similar to Hadoop, cool. But it's Google-based. So sort of the back end of Hadoop is all Google anyway.
We'll have to talk later.
Yeah, the moon away from that. It's all Dataflow now. So this is the new product called Dataflow that Google have released. We came out at the Google I.O. And it's a really exciting product. And there you are. Mm, cool. PubSub.
Excellent, mate.
Get it in there. PubSub.
Surely good. Next to him, Tom Merritt.
Have I bored you now?
No, it's just we've only got an hour. Hello,
Will
Tom.
And I'll start a new show. We can talk about all that stuff, Will.
Yeah, you're going to get tons of listeners for that, guys.
Big data show.
Absolutely. Ooh. Thomas, how the devil are you, mate?
I've been good, man. Been busy.
No kidding.
How about yourself?
Well, I mean, is your basement going to hold everything now that you've expanded so much?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, we don't ever get any rain here, so I can just put stuff out on the lawn.
That's true.
You have a basement? Wait.
It's not exactly a basement. I know that always confuses actual Southern Californians. It's sort of, the house is built on a hill. I don't want to go into a long explanation.
No.
Downstairs.
Can we go back to big data?
Exit in the back.
Gotcha. And of course, it's very secure in LA, isn't it, for stuff that's left on the lawn?
Oh, yeah. Safe as houses.
Yep.
Excellent, mate. Jolly good. Good to have you back on, mate. It's been a while.
Good to be back, man.
Yeah, no, good to have you. Next to him, Steve Sandy.
Oh, good.
Last
morning,
time you
everybody.
Were on, we had an unboxing, didn't we?
Yes, we did. The last time was the day that the iPhone 6 Plus showed up, and I went skipping off to the door, picked up the box, and we unveiled it to just an excited public out there right here on the show.
On the show, live. And mine arrived, but not until 7 o'clock that night, so.
Oh. Not a good thing.
Been a busy day, said the woman. And last but by no means least, I have video of Carl Swagger.
Mine arrived.
Oh,
mine arrived,
so how many months of service do Globe now owe you? Based on the fact that we're giving away a month a day at one point.
It would be nice if they would have. Now it's still just the 1 month.
Bastard.
Unfortunately.
So how are you finding it? Because that looks huge next to you.
Thank you very much. I love it.
It is closer to the camera.
I absolutely love it. I'm glad I went with the Plus.
You haven't got it in a case.
Yeah, I do have it in a case. It's a clear case. You got to keep that beauty going. Yeah. It's an Apple thing. Right? Right.
So there's zero protection on that.
Well, there's a lot. There's plenty of protection. There's plenty of protection. Yeah. It's just clear.
Does he need protection?
See you next week when you dropped it, dude.
I ain't going to drop this. I ain't going to drop it. Oh, and then there's this thing that goes over the top of it.
New show, doing brilliantly. Thank you, mate.
Is it?
Fantastic
Is
job.
It?
We've had a review from Tim H. Audio.
Oh,
it's a great news summary, funny, accurate, and insightful. 5 minutes of fun with a huge start to your day. No, I'll start again. 5 minutes of huge fun to start your day well. Thanks. I hate dyslexia. There you go, pal. Praise
Thank you.
Indeed. Keep the reviews coming in for the Daily Show, because obviously Kyle doesn't get to read them out. He's only got around
I run out of music at 7 minutes and 25 seconds. So.
Is that all I sent you? Sorry, man.
I think
it was a kind of quality control thing. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was a 140 character limit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good.
No, it's more of the end. This is when you're going to shut up, but this is when I say you're going to shut up. So there you go.
The fact that the music repeats and he could edit himself is escaping.
No, no, no,
don't
no.
Don't tell
no,
him
no,
that,
no.
For Christ's sake.
I don't have time for that.
We'll end up with a 5-minute daily news show that's 20 minutes long. we're trying hard not to try and compete with Tom.
Yeah, I've done that before.
We've had some reviews. Thank you very much. Mal Cranmer has written home with a 2-star review. No longer one of my must listens. The once familiar and likable panel is long gone, replaced by an inconsistent and irregular troupe. The often repeated goal to sound like Makes Down the Pub is still true. However, now it sounds more like the chaos of closing time rather than people having fun. Do apologise, Mal. I think the one thing I'd say, just to challenge you on that one, Mal, is that people come on voluntarily, and there's nothing I can do to force them. If people don't want to come on, I can't do it. And there's certain people that, if you get down to the nth degree of man management, there's certain combinations of people we cannot have on this show. They will not come on the show together. So it's not that easy to just get everyone to turn up all the time at 3 o'clock on a Friday, because it is a work day as well. So,
and I refuse to come on with Ewan, which makes it really difficult.
it gets really complicated.
We have had lots of comments saying that people like the diversity and the change now, and all of the new panelists that we've had on in the last couple of weeks on Big and on Mac have been the hard work of Paul Wheatley, and I think he's done a fantastic job. We've had some really, really good eclectic people on, really good panels. So, sorry, Mal, but it ain't going to change.
And, yeah, bravo to Paul, by the way. He's doing a great job.
He is. No, he's doing fantastically.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And we've had one from Rich D, 123, and he's put, irreverent at times, absolutely. Filled with interesting news, mostly. Some weeks is a slow Apple week, but the panel still manages to make interesting comment. You ain't seen nothing yet this week, boy. All in a great listen each and every week. I enjoy all of the panel inputs, even if Will goes off on one at times. And there are moments of real laugh-out-loud humour. Keep it up, guys and gal. Emphasis on the gal. one only. Well done, gal. And we've had a video one, but I don't know if I got it last week. If you're interested in Max, this is a show for you. Ewan does a great job keeping me informed about everything Apple related. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and Will Green is always entertaining, especially when he goes off on a tangent with his magical thinking. Best Apple related podcast out there at the moment. A must watch. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much to Sean48 for that one. If I read that out last week, I do apologise, but it was a 5-star review. I've got to make myself feel good after miles.
who was the one that gave us a bad review?
Mal Cranmer. He's you know, he's been a long time supporter. I remember him giving us a review way back that was 5 stars. Mm. So if you got two of the founding four on here, Dr. Mac, Happy Mac is shagging himself senseless down in Swindon somewhere. Or Cheltenham, he's loved up, so that's why we never get him on anymore. And and Don's just too busy making a fortune and servicing his plane, so he just comes on once a month or so. The Week in Apple. It's going to be a short show.
Did stuff happen?
Well,
there's some stuff.
Yeah,
there is some stuff.
There's some.
I
installed an update.
Well, I was going to talk about it because before we started, we're having a little conversation about because the 10.10.1 update came out this week, and I've put it on all the computers, and I haven't noticed any difference. Nothing's worked brilliantly. Nothing's worked badly. It's just done what it did before. But
you know what works really well?
A common issue.
Mavericks.
Greeny may take issue with that because Greeny's actually loving Yosemite your mama over Mavericks. But it was interesting that Greeny and Tom are having the same issue. What was the issue you described, Tom?
Yeah, every once in a while, just since the update, screen freezes. Mouse still moves, but no input. Nothing else works. Takes a hard reboot to fix it. And then when it comes back, it says there was a problem with the video card. Would you like to report it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Will, you were saying you think it has to do with the discrete versus the integrated graphics card.
Yeah, I think so. It's there is, and I can't remember the name of it, there's a bit of software that allows you to, it's free, and it shows you what's going on with the graphics card. So
GFX card status, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It works really well. And so if you've got a MacBook Pro, you might or might not know that it's got two graphics cards. There's an integrated graphics card, and then there's the more advanced graphics card. And the idea being that it switches between the two. So when you open up Photoshop, it switches to the more powerful graphics card, which is more reliant on your battery, which, you know, in theory sounds great. But it seems to me to be when it switches to the more advanced graphics card, your Mac freezes, and now I'm getting all sorts of trouble. And you could argue that it's this soldering thing or it's a hardware thing, but I can't see how that's possible when it was working great with the first version of Yosemite, and with the second, we've suddenly, with the new update, we're suddenly getting this issue. So surely it can't be hardware. It must be software.
Did it start with 10.1 or 10.1.1?
10.1 for me. How about you, Tom?
10.1 for me too.
Okay. So this latest, so it started with the last update, and this latest update didn't change anything.
Didn't fix it. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I looked through the notes on the 10.1.1, hoping that I'd see it there, but there was nothing there. And I thought maybe they're embarrassed and they won't put it in there. So I was sort of, being the, you know, ever optimist, I was thinking it'll fix it, but it hasn't. It's still exactly the same, and it's really annoying because the Tom, I don't know about yourself, but when you when it freezes or you have to restart it, you have to go through that blooming pain in the bum safe boot sequence, and even then sometimes it doesn't come back up again.
I haven't had that. I haven't had to go through safe boot, actually. It just comes right back to normal.
It's 10.10.1, because every time I restart my Mac now, I get the white line appearing at the bottom. Is that the safe reboot? Because that happens all the time now. I never don't get the increasing line. You know, like when you get an update, sometimes you get that increasing line.
That's usually a firmware. I only remember seeing that when there's like a firmware update being applied.
Yeah, and it seems to be doing it every time now. I agree. I've seen that.
There we go.
Maybe that's just a new UI thing. People, you know, when you just see the Apple logo, you never really know, is it doing anything?
Yeah. I've only seen that once before, and that was just before my computer melted into a big thermal heaving meat of plastic.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
I look it up, and that new sort of bar that's below, you know, when you go through the booter process and you see this bar that's gradually going up, that is Safe Boot, apparently. They've changed the sort of UI of it.
I get that every time.
You're looking at. You're going through a Safe Boot process.
No, I get that every single time, though.
Me too.
That is,
you know, it works really well.
To do something to invoke Safe Boot. That's usually a, like, you have to consciously like hold down the shift key in order to get that to happen.
Yeah, your computer's shagged. That's what's invoking it.
I've had no issues, but I guess I haven't upgraded.
That's Kelly. That's true. If your computer's working fine, but if it crashes, then it'll automatically go into Safe Boot anyway.
Right.
So that's what we're seeing a lot of. That. So for me and Tom, it's like a graphics card issue, and it dies.
Yeah.
And for me personally, when it reboots, it knows it's had a problem.
Do you force the reboot, or do you just let it crash?
Well, I've had a couple of times where my computer won't actually switch off, so I've had to force the reboot. Yeah. And then it always comes up, but it always comes up even if it manages to do a restart by itself.
Yeah, I've just been mashing the power button, and when it happens.
Well,
so that app, GFX Card Status, you know, which it puts a little thing, I think, in your menu bar that'll show you which graphics card you're on. But I think it also has a feature where you can force it to not switch.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, it does. You can have dynamic switching discrete only or integrated only. But the problem is it
doesn't work, though. If
it doesn't work anymore in Yosemite. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So you can say, do not switch, you know, integrated graphics only. And within a few minutes, you'll go back and it'll switch to dynamic switching. It doesn't work.
So that's not working. It used to work. I never really used it, but I know a lot of people who swore by it for this exact problem. They did not want it switching. Usually it was typically away from the discrete, because you're going to get better performance, you know, with the discrete for higher end stuff, but if it's not working, it's not working. That sucks.
I don't know about you guys, but I miss Leopard. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, part of me is actually serious, because it seems like that's the last time that we didn't go through an update when we were talking like, well, this didn't work, and that didn't work. And this is,
you know what I mean?
It was a smoother transition.
Well, yeah, but the tech was significantly way back from where it currently is. And I remember going to Leopard, mate, and it balked shitloads of audio devices.
Yeah. I've had really, I mean, very few issues personally with Mavericks, and especially this latest version, 10.9.5. You know, and not joking. I was kind of joking earlier, but, you know, part of the reason I don't upgrade my main machine for several months is I just can't take the time to kind of deal with these little, you know, issues. I don't think Yosemite has any huge issues, but there's minor annoyances that impact certain folks, and it sounds like Will and Tom, unfortunately, you guys are getting hit with a really annoying one.
I think, I mean, it's happened, I don't know how many times it's happened to you, Will, but it's happened to me maybe 4 or 5 times top. So it's just kind of an annoyance. It usually happens when I open a tab for a website that's got a lot of advertising on it, and I'm not running a script blocker. And so it's probably some kind of video ad or multimedia ad that's kicking the graphics card into high gear, would be my guess. But I tell you what, it never happens on my Mountain Lion machine that I've never upgraded. That one works like a dream.
Right. Do you think it's Flash?
It's really kind of funny.
Flash with the newer machines will use the GPU.
Yeah.
We'll kick into the discrete GPU, I think.
Exactly. It's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I wrote a post here earlier this week where I actually said I must be doing something wrong, because I haven't had any issues. I've got this new iMac, or not new, but about a year and a half old iMac. It's running fine on Yosemite, latest version. I've got a company-supplied MacBook Pro with Retina display. It's working fine. And I have, I think it's about a 4-year-old iMac, 27-inch. They're all working fine. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
You're holding
them off. You know, I take a look at, what's that?
You're holding your iMac wrong.
That's it. Holding it with my arms on the side there. But anyway, I just have had no issues at all, which I think is absolutely weird. On the other hand, our editor-in-chief at the unofficial Apple weblog, Mr. Victor Agreda Jr., is threatening to write a post today because he can't get anything to work. So it's all over the spectrum. It's this has kind of been an interesting update.
I don't have too many complaints about Yosemite, actually. It works, you know, except for that one issue. Everything has worked fine for me, too.
That's what I've heard from most people, you know, that they upgraded and they've had little or no issues. To the point where, I was getting ready to do my upgrade. I ordered a bunch of, you know, USB sticks so that I could, you know, build a emergency installer. Mm-hmm. And I was going to run it. But then I had my logic board problem, so I'm holding off till I get my machine back.
Now, Adam, you have one of the cursed machines, don't you?
Yes. I've had two of the cursed machines. I had the 2010 one.
Problem that Apple says is not a problem.
Well, yeah, exactly. The one that Apple says is not a problem.
Well, but they don't say anything, so they just sort of keep swapping logic boards for people like you.
Yeah, and what's funny is I went in this time, and I'm not on AppleCare anymore. My AppleCare has completely run out, and so they were going to charge me the flat rate fee, which is $310 to do the repair. And I kind of looked at the guy and I said, well, you know, that's fine. But, you know, do I have any assurances? This is kind of they can never admit it, right? So I always say to the guy, I know you can't, you know, you can nod or wink or whatever, but I know you can't say anything. But, you know, this is pretty well documented, you know, on the internet. This is a known issue with the graphics card. And, you know, he just kind of looks at me, but with a blank stare, like he's supposed
to.
See
if we can get you a new logic board for
this. Right, but so I say that, and he goes, well, you know, because you just had it done in May, you know, we'll cover half the cost. And then I kind of pressed him a little more, and then he's like, we'll just fix it for you.
Well, too right, he should. I mean, I've got to say, thank God I live in Britain and Europe, because Europe, you get a 2-year warranty on all electrical products regardless, so Apple, take your warranty and shove it, because you're going to have to give me two anyway. And B, trading standards would have been right up their backsides there you've just replaced this in May. I'm awfully sorry, but it's got to work for a relative period of time that shows.
Yeah, in the US it's a 90-day. You know, when they do the repairs, you got 90 days and that's it.
No, but not on a warrantable item in the first place.
Are all 3-year-old machines? Aren't they 2011?
Yeah, but Adam's had, Adam? You said you're like 7th or 8th. God.
Yeah, between two machines. So what happened was I had a 2010 and its logic board went three times.
As
so it had
four logic boards
in its lifetime.
Right.
And then they finally, on the fourth time, they were going to replace the logic board again. I actually had dropped it off, and then I got a call back from the Apple store and they said, you know what, I talked to my manager and this has been so many times, if you want, we'll just give you a 2011. So I'm like, oh, awesome. Okay, give me a 2011. And then the 2011 started having the same exact problem. So between the two, I'm on my seventh. This will be the seventh logic board.
Mine's an early 2011. And it's just rife. They didn't do you any favors giving you that one, to be honest.
Right.
I think it's safe to say Adam defies logic.
But I mean, if they want to just keep giving me logic boards, that's fine. You know, if that's how they want to handle it, that's fine. I just, you know, said to the guy, you're not really solving the root problem here. So I'll just be back in 6 months and you can give me another logic board.
Yeah,
that's fine.
He said,
I'll tell you what I hate.
Yeah. Okay. What do you hate about Adam?
No, Adam, Apple.
Oh, right. Okay.
Glass.
Oh, Jesus, Greeny! I'm working this weekend. I haven't got time to do any editing.
Well, I mean, it's ridiculous. Your phone has got glass on, your laptop's got glass on, your iPod's got glass on, and they all smash and crack at some point. They're saying, oh, yes, it's the hardest glass the world has ever known, Gorilla Glass or whatever it's called, and it never works. It always smashes. Why can't they just go for...
It's because you drop it!
No, it's not that.
You wanker. It's nothing to do with the quality of the glass. I haven't broken anything ever.
rubbish. It's even my trackpad is broken now.
Yes.
I put it in my case and
with a bowling ball, no doubt.
Huh?
With a bowling ball, no doubt.
But no, what balls do you? It's rubbish. It's the most rubbish idea I've ever. So you've got a mobile device or something that you're working with on a regular basis. Even my MacBook Pro glasses smash now as well. And it's absolutely blooming ridiculous. Why do they insist on putting glass? It doesn't help stuff. You just get this sort of horrible reflection. I mean, my old 17-inch PowerBook, which had just like the regular screen on, never smashed because there was nothing to smash. It just worked great for those years. You get a MacBook Pro or you get an iPad or an iPhone or a trackpad and they're cracked within blooming months, and you know that's the case.
So Greeny, tell us how come it broke. Tell us the reasons that it broke then.
Which one?
Did you just look at it really hard and concentrate and then it cracked?
It did, yeah. Sorry, it did. So
trackbook on the wall, who's the ugliest bastard of all?
Well, the MacBook Pro, I was working on it. And I left it in...
What, you were actually sat on it working? Is that how you broke it?
No, I was working on it in the lounge, and I went upstairs, and I went back downstairs, and magically, there was a great big smash in the front of the glass.
Magic.
Nobody
well, there's your problem. The glass is not warranted against magic.
Yeah, or haunted houses.
You shouldn't be messing with powers you don't understand.
we never used to have these sort of problems.
He was in the middle of a pentagram and he was chanting, and then he had to go.
I'm sure I'm not on my own. We never had these problems before. Apple got obsessed by putting glass on the front of everything.
I've never had a problem. I've never had a cracked screen on an iPad. I've never had a cracked screen on an iPhone or a trackpad or a MacBook Pro screen.
I haven't either.
So
I'm agreed.
News for you though, Gorilla Glass 4 is coming out next year. They announced it yesterday.
Yes, that's true.
Designed to stay intact 80% of the time when dropped from a meter above a rough surface, unless you're Will Grau. Sorry.
Oh, no, Choisky in the chat room's nailed it. Yuri Greeny.
Well, bless you all. Ridiculous.
Oh no!
I never had a
problem.
It's going
to start raining frogs. God only knows what sort of magic he's going to call down upon us. Maybe we should be nicer to him, you guys.
Yeah, you should.
Greedy, you and I had a conversation a few weeks back. You said, I'm going to try and be more sensible on the shows from now on. Don't you bloody dare, boy.
Probably one of the more sensible conversations he's ever tried to have.
I thought I kicked off very well. Actually,
you did. Your big data conversation was really good.
Yeah, I tell you what I got this week.
Yeah, go on.
Two words for Will, or one word. I'm not really sure. OtterBox.
Yes.
OtterBox.
Yeah. One.
Well, I have a pick for Will later, so there you go. Go on, Greedy. What were you going to say?
I have got my iPhone 6, and it's great. I love it. But what I find totally magical is the fingerprint thing. You know, I'm doing it now. I put my finger on the phone and that's it. It works. It's just absolutely bloody amazing. I go to my mates now in the pub. Look, I'll show you this. And I do it, right? And then I'll say, you try it after I've locked it again. And they can't do it. I find that incredible. It's proper sci-fi. It's proper technology as it should. Or is that just me?
No, it is rather cool, I have to admit. And once you've had it...
It was good.
Go on, Carl.
I know, I was just going to say, it was also cool last year, too. It was really cool last year. Yeah.
Balls you, Swagger. Balls of the lot.
Wait till you get Apple Pay.
Ooh. Oh, no, we can't. I'm nearly bankrupt from Amazon Prime already. So I don't need friggin' Apple Pay when I walk in somewhere and it just knows my presence and goes, gives you money. I can't be doing with that.
I think it's fab. I've only had limited access to it because I have a 5S, but Mr. Kelly got a 6. and we've used it to pay a few places. It's pretty nifty.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time I used it, I was at a Whole Foods grocery store, which is one of these real fancy grocery stores, and everybody gathered around because it was the day it launched, and it worked amazingly simple. Oh. Then I went and I used it at a McDonald's recently, and I was kind of prepared for that to happen, and they didn't even blink. They're like, what?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, everybody does that now. It's, you know, move along, sir. Take your McNuggets and go.
Oh, angels singing.
Yes, yeah, so I think we call it that here, too.
The interesting thing is going to be as well, though, if we get it here in the UK, is what happens if we come to the US?
Apparently, if you have a US credit card, it works in the UK and in other countries where they can take NFC payments on their terminals.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. Yep. So if I brought my iPhone over there, I could use Apple Pay because it's just tied to the bank side of things. It just needs to be hooked up, I think.
Well, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I could already go use my card in the UK now, so I think it's possible that the Apple Pay would be the
same. Well, no, using your card's one thing, but using your card through Apple Pay is another entirely in a country that doesn't
have it. And that's one of the smart things Apple did was NFC is NFC. They didn't make anybody have to get special hardware in order to make it work. It was one of the things that made Square a useful thing for a lot of people right off the bat. Was it plugs into the headphone jack. It's not a 30-pin connector. It's not a lightning connector. Just use the headphone jack. So I think that makes a big difference.
Here's the real interesting thing. So something, because I want everybody to support Apple Pay, and so one of my sort of protests for those companies that aren't supporting it is every time I go to like a Target or a Best Buy, any of those companies that are on the current C thing, I'll ask them at the register, can I use Apple Pay? And so I did it at Best Buy, and the guy was like, I don't know. I think it works, or maybe we're going to support it next year. But he's like, you're welcome to try. And here's the interesting thing. So I put it on the reader, stuck my thumb on there. It did the whole Apple Pay process. So it recognized the thing. It brought up my card. It gave me the option to use the Touch ID thumbprint scan. It scanned. It gave me the little checkbox, done. And then the terminal said, oh, we couldn't process the payment. So the communication part is all hooked up. Where they've disabled it is the transmission from the terminal to the to the bank.
Right, because it creates a unique credit card number for you, right? And so that the processor, Ars Technica did a great job of like breaking all this down, but the processor probably just said, oh, yeah, we're not allowed to take that number from that service.
Exactly. But the terminals are in place will support it. So this is how these guys are disabling it. They're just, you know, it's not that the payment terminal from Verifone or whoever it is doesn't work or doesn't, you know, use the NFC. So the NFC is obviously ubiquitous. You know, if it will take an NFC contactless payment, it will work with Apple Pay. It's just, it's a choice on the retailer to whether or not they take it or not.
That's why people were using Apple Pay with a couple of the pharmacies here in the U.S. Very first day it came out, because they had left their NFC terminals on without modifying them. And then they went in and they're like, oh, wait a minute, we have to shut it off. And then that upset all the Google Wallet people, because now it suddenly didn't work for them either, because they just shut it off.
Them are still upset.
Yeah.
Chat room's chiming in. Troisky says, I want Touch ID for my front door. Yeah, that'd be cool. Bookery says, Bookery says, is Greeny a witch? And Troisky says, maybe Yuri Greeny is actually responsible for the bent iPhone 6s for everyone else. And Bookery's then come back with, Tom should have walked into a McDonald's and ordered a McRib. That would have attracted far more attention.
Yeah, they would have been happier about that. You're right. That's a good point.
Probably.
Does the McRib not sell well or something?
The viewer who was interested in using Touch ID for his front door, TiVo. That's all I have to say. Quick sec, TiVo.
TiVo.
No,
TiVo.
TiVo. Right.
Like a house key, TiVo. Yeah.
K-E-V-O.
Oh, okay. I'll look into that.
Like TiVo with a K.
Oh, okay. Does it work on mortise locks as well?
I believe so.
One of those metal just lets the thing out. Yeah. Okay. I'll give that a go. That's good. iPhone 6 sales in the eastern region of the world are good, the same as everywhere else. But it would seem that in the Far East, in Asia, then iPhone 6 Plus sales are nearly, more than double what they are in places like Australia. Yep. The 6+ has gone well with the Asian Brigade. Kyle, as our man in Asia, do you have a reason for that? Apart from the fact that you bought more.
I think the reason is because people like big phones over here. I mean, I've noticed it here in the Philippines. I mean, with people with their Android phones particularly, most have very big screens, at least 5-inch screen. So, but funny enough, though, everybody I over this launch week, though, with the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, everyone I knew around me got a 6. I'm the only one that got a 6 Plus.
That's interesting, because TJ got a 6 Plus as well.
Forgot about TJ, yeah.
Isn't it because in that part of the world, many folks, their phone is their, basically is their computer, it is their portal to the internet, and they don't have they, or want another device? It's sort of a different thing. They don't have a laptop and a tablet and a phone. It's like they have a phone.
Right? To an extent, I would say, I mean, that's really just, in this market particularly, that's just catching on as far as having a smartphone for the mainstream market. You can now find smartphones here for, you know, about $100 still, U.S. dollars, maybe a little bit cheaper. But the main phones here, the most mainstream phones here, are still the old Nokia talk and text phones, and that's all you can do with them. You still see, I would say, 70% of the populations that just use those phones. So I wouldn't say that. I would say that, particularly in the Philippines market, if you have an iPhone, chances are you have a laptop. Chances are, you know, chances are you probably even have an iPad too. The demographics here are very, it's very night and day. It's actually quite, it is getting better though. Don't get me wrong. It is, you are seeing more people with smartphones than you used to. But it's still a long way for the market, I think, to catch up to that sort of thing.
Those figures, of course, include China, and China would be an enormous proportion of those.
Oh yeah. Well, there. Good Lord. Yeah.
China's got 6+ now. Oh, no, China's separate in that, sorry. Yeah, so
are they?
Okay. Philippines is double Australia. Vietnam is also double Australia. Japan, China, South Korea are all double Australia in the chart. So,
for the 6 Plus?
Yeah, 6 Plus. It's still not as popular as the 6. The 6 is still the most popular platform. Mm. But the traction, if you like, of 6 Plus as opposed to other European nations and Australia, Canada, Norway, US, is significantly greater.
Well, I tell you, I ended up getting a 6 just because I didn't want to wait the longer amount of time for the 6 Plus because the shipping date was pushed out farther. So I think some people probably are getting a 6 just because it's more available.
But you had the 6 Plus, though, given the choice.
Yeah, if it had been the same, I probably would have got a 6 Plus just to see what it was like using it.
Well, I've got to say,
maybe you want to trade.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Adam, let's talk. You don't like.
Tell us more.
You know, what I did is I bought a T-Mobile Unlocked and put a Verizon SIM card in it. Works great.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm AT&T. But, yeah, no, I really like the screen size on the 6 Plus, but I think I've resolved myself that the size is just, for me, it's a bit inconvenient. I have to constantly take it out of my pocket just to be comfortable when I'm especially sitting down or something like that, and I just don't like that process. It's a little bit more cumbersome than I'd like on a daily basis.
Adam's had too many people come. Excuse me, Adam. Are you a little excited today about getting your hamburger? I mean,
yeah, walking around with a stiff leg. You mean? Yes.
Moving on. I've got no time for bleeping. I've got to say, I've got a case with a little kickstand for my iPhone 6 now, and it's great. I just crack it out and sit it on the desk. And now I've got Sky Go on this as well. It's fantastic because when I'm watching the F1 qualifying, I came to set up in here and I was backwards and forwards in and out the room doing stuff. And I just carried this around with me. I got the F1 coverage on. And it was
I will not. I will not lie. I've been on Scott Evest more than once since getting the iPhone 6 Plus. I'll just say that.
Do you get it? No. When you get to a certain age, you start to get certain sort of twinges and stuff, don't you? And you know when you put your phone in your pocket and it vibrates, that's one thing. But sometimes I get twinges in my leg from the muscles or the whatever, the nerves, and I don't know whether it's my leg or my phone.
That's.
Do you ever get them when you don't have your phone in your pocket?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, absolutely yeah, true. I do.
Is it not a precursor to a heart attack?
No. I did a story on this back in September.
Really? Oh, tell us more, yeah. Tom.
I don't know.
Dr. Thomas Merritt.
I thought I remembered seeing a headline. Studies in recent years have examined the prevalence of a phantom cell phone vibration.
Yes!
68% of the medical staff at Massachusetts Hospital to 89% of undergraduates at Midwestern University to more than 90% of Taiwanese doctors in training reported it.
Yeah, I've had it. I've definitely got, you know, like you get that feeling in your leg and you're like, oh, I didn't know I had my phone in my pocket. And then I haven't got my phone in my pocket. It's just my leg buzzing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I've had that.
That's Will's voodoo working there.
it's Will's energy trying to bend the phone.
No, that's a real thing. I can testify to that.
I've had it too. I don't know if it's just one of these things where we're so used to our phones vibrating, you think that it is, or particularly if you're waiting for a text or a phone call or something or other. But yeah, I've had the same thing.
That's going to be like the king's new clothes, isn't it? No one's actually had it, but they've got to say something. Otherwise, it's...
Well, this guy Laramie did a study, and he did his thesis on it. He said the two biggest predictors of phantom vibrations were age. Young people experienced it more, and the extent to which people relied on their phone to regulate their emotional state. He thinks that it has to do with just having a normal, you know, twinge, and you interpret it as being your cell phone because you're always thinking about your phone.
It's possible too.
That
would make a great name for a band, wouldn't it? Phantom Vibrations.
Well, I was going to say the title of the show has got to be Yuri Greeny and the Phantom Vibrations. Now, I mean, it's just
I can't wait to see them. Are they playing the Bash?
That's Dave D. Dozy making titch right there, isn't it?
The other thing, and this has nothing to do with technology at all.
Well, there's a surprise.
But I get sort of, I think the best way is like brain explosions. So when you're asleep, it's almost like somebody set a bomb off in your brain. It's like, bang!
What?
And it wakes you up, and it's ridiculous.
Oh, and you like jerk out of it. You're like you're sleeping, and you just go, ah, like that?
No, it's like, it's more than that. It's like, almost like, as I say, somebody set a bomb off in your brain, it goes bang like that in your brain, and then bang, you're awake. And it's not painful or anything like that, but it's just, it sort of chucks you out of your sleeping reverie.
You really need to download an app, Will, that's for like ghost hunting and see what the hell is in your house.
Yep.
Go and have a sleep study with a medical technician, mate. Don't screw around with the paranormal.
All right. Well, I'm all right. I'm okay.
It's the dark power is trying to blow up your brain.
Yeah.
my psychiatrist told him I was a genius today, so that's all right.
Your psychiatrist told you were a genius? In your own lunchtime?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, who gives a shit about the Apple news?
It's live on the internet right now.
Jesus Christ. Black Friday detail. I can edit. Black Friday deals are akimbo. Walmart kicks off Black Friday sales early with discounted iPad 2. Well, it's not Black Friday if it's early. Surely you can't have Black Friday on a Thursday.
You don't even have Black Friday in the UK. Friday. You don't have an actual like holiday the day before.
So no.
I guess you could just put Black Friday wherever you want, right?
Well, we never had Black Friday until it kind of caught on that we did, and Amazon started doing Black Friday deals, and Apple did as well in the UK. So we kind of expect Black Friday, but Christmas gets earlier and early, but surely Black Friday's Black Friday. You can't do Black Friday deals early. It's just a sale otherwise.
It's just a sale, and you're just letting people know what they would get if they showed up the day after Thanksgiving. And what I think is hilarious is that the whole reason it's called Black Friday is because people who work retail hate the day after Thanksgiving, the end.
Yeah, they named it after a stock market crash. That's how much they love it.
So retail like the people who aren't the folks who wear the name tags and show up on the floor have decided to turn this into a way to bring even more people into stores. I guarantee you there is a Best Buy in the United States where there's a dude who's been parked outside in a tent
waiting for
at least a week. And he's got a week to go. And I guarantee you that is a thing that is happening here, America.
But the Apple stuff right on. Rubbish, isn't it?
Here it is, Beaumont, Texas, November 11th. Shoppers already lining up at Best Buy.
Oh, my God.
Say? Yeah.
I mean, come on, though. You got to say. I mean, I seen that Best Buy has a 50-inch TV for $200.
Yeah, but there's one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That's true. Well, that's why
I line up early.
Oh, no,
but if you kill everybody else, you get it.
Right.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, it costs you $1,000 for an Uzi so that you can make the line go away for a $500 TV. Right.
So if that guy was actually working 8 hours a day for the 3 weeks that he waits for that $200 TV, yeah.
No, Adam, you got you do it in shifts. You have people cover for you. You got to approach it strategically.
To get the Uzi than the $200.
No, see, that's not okay. You can't cut line and get someone to just watch your space while you go and have a dump. You've got to.
That's how it's done. Apparently,
you've got to have a porta potty. Otherwise, it should be not your act. Go on. Unless you're defecating on the pavement, I'm sorry, this isn't your spot.
Otherwise, you're not dedicated.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to have a luggable loo.
Defecating dedication. That's what we need. Oh, this podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're an absolute fab bunch. We had a good conversation last night in the big show. Talked to Rob from Libsyn, and he was saying about, you know, people hosting with them and how much podcasting is on the up and always has been. He was saying that there's some stories around that podcasting is coming back. Well, it never went away, according to the stats from them. And we can say exactly the same thing. We would have been all at sea when we started off, because the popularity of the show went quickly up at one point, and it was when bandwidth cost an absolute fortune. And UK2 were the ones that stepped in and said, don't worry, we'll pick up all your bandwidth, we'll pick up all your storage costs. All you've got to do is keep producing great shows and saying thanks to UK2. And we have, and as far as we know, they've got a fantastic business from you guys buying their service. Please keep going. Please sign in through the UK2 sponsorship link on BTN. That would be fantastic. And also, we've got a little prize to give away. They might have been here today, but they haven't come. But we've got some unique, almost, sweets to give away. UK2 have had some sweets made in a limited run batch, and there'll be a few packets of sweets come here, and next week we'll give a whole pile of them away, the ones we haven't eaten anyway, at least. So UK2, please support them, because they pick up all the bandwidth, they pick up all of the costs that we've got associated with storage and dispersion of our stuff. So thank you very much to them. We've also got a giveaway to give away with Ghost Sphero later on, a Sphero 2 or an Ollie. So stick around and listen out for that, because it should be cool. And also, we've got the Bash, the Northern Bash is up. If you'd like to go to that, it's at the Tweed Bank Hall in the Scottish Borders, and it'll last from 3 to 12pm on Saturday the 6th of December. It's bring your own booze. It's not like the Southern Bash or the Midland Bash. £5 just covers the hall. Higher charge, and that's it. There's going to be loads of gaming. There's going to be the gamer show quiz. There's going to be whatever you choose to bring and drink, and there'll be a nice curry as well to finish off the evening. So Sam Chiz and Paul will all be there, and it should be a great laugh. I'm going up. I know Muller in the chat room, he's coming up. Whether he wants to lift in my car or not, he'll have to say. But we're going up on the 6th from here in the morning at 7 a.m. so if you want to get a ride up there and come up to here, that's fine, go for it. But buy your ticket now on britishnetwork.com, and you can also buy tickets for next year's Bash as well. The ticket sales are already up there, so just fill your cart up with what you want, and the curry as well if you want it. Buy it, and then we're all set and we're all done. Enjoy, should be great fun. Any more Apple stories? Because I don't think there's any that are really worth talking about. Maybe the one, actually, the Foxconn plant. They're building a $2.6 billion dedicated Apple display plant in Taiwan. I just thought that was quite interesting, because the fact, you know, the doubling down on secrecy thing, form factor of screens and resolution of screens is a big, big part of what's coming, isn't it, with a lot of what Apple do. So do you think they've maybe made a bit of a mistake in that?
Well, they're making all of the displays out of glass so that they can be broken. And cough, cough, cough. No, actually, I thought that was really good sign there.
I love the fact that Steve Sandy's only been on this show twice and he already's taking the piss out of Greedy. That's spot on, mate.
Well, be honest. I mean, making your portable products that are bound to be dropped and you move around and stuff out of glass, it's ridiculous. What do you
Jesus.
Well, I want to support minutes. You, but what would you have them make it out of?
Transparent aluminium.
Yeah.
Plastic. I mean, plastic
but
is...
But plastic shatters more easily than Gorilla Glass.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. That's true.
Rubbish.
And plus, plastic is
shatter.
The bigger problem with plastic is scratching. If you've ever had plastic lenses, and don't tell me you can put anti-scratch coatings on there because those things wear out and flake off as well. So in 2 years, you'd have a phone screen that basically, you know, looked like you were looking through a layer of fog.
Yeah.
Well, this is not smashed. At least I don't have to go to Apple and get it replaced for 200 quid or something like that.
But you do have to go get it replaced because you can't see through the bloody thing.
Of course you can. Of course you can.
Bloody.
You know. Right, I had my PowerBook 17-inch for 5 years or something like that, and I never had to replace the screen. And, yeah, there was the occasional scratch and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter. I could keep on going.
That's because it was made out of Bakelite.
It's got a great big blooming...
Well, you're talking about a laptop screen versus a phone screen. I'm specifically referring to a phone screen that's going in and out of your pocket.
It doesn't matter. If it's made of glass, Will can break it, no matter what the testimonials are.
So,
Greeny, no rule, dude. If you swear, you owe me 50 quid. I haven't got the time this weekend for this shit. Stop it.
I think Greeny's in the wrong line of work. Clearly, he needs to go to work for Dow Corning because they have inadequate testing for Gorilla Glass. He needs to forsake all this big data nonsense and go make sure people's phones don't break.
That's a new advertising slogan. Even Greeny couldn't crack it.
They just released Gorilla Glass 4 yesterday with a video showing them smashing hundreds of phones. Yeah. I think it would be your dream job, Will.
It would.
To smash phones.
That's like one of those quality
stamps.
All
day long, just running the machine.
Just quality stamps. It's got Greeny proof written on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's genuinely not. My simple point is really that I reckon everybody in this podcast now knows or has a phone that has been smashed. Okay?
Nope.
So
knows. Sure. Yeah, of course.
I know people who've done that.
Rewind sort of pre-iPhone, pre-glass, and we never had that problem really. Yes, they might get a little bit scratched. Yes, it might be slightly more difficult to see the screen if you've had that phone for 2 or 3 years, but we never had that problem really. And now they're making everything out of glass. I've got through a trackpad, multiple iPhones, multiple iPads, and now a MacBook Pro, and I've had enough. It's about time we got rid of glass and replaced it with something durable.
Mm. Gorilla Glass is more durable than plastic. I was trying to find good articles on it. Lifehacker has an article about whether you should use plastic or glass as your screen protector, and they definitely say tempered glass.
They always say that. They say, "Oh, this is the most this is tougher than diamonds." And you think, "Well, if it's tougher than diamonds, why am I looking at a smashed phone?"
Or I think we're looking at more smashed phones because more people have phones and use them more often than they used to. I definitely knew people who had broken cell phones before there were smartphones made with glass screens.
But I think more people also hand them to their kids and sort of forget that the kid won't think twice about pitching it down the stairs.
That's interesting. We're comparing Will to a kid now.
Going downhill.
Will Green, as dangerous as a 5-year-old.
But do
lock up your iPhones. Greeny's on the loose.
But if you look at the competitors, they don't use glass, do they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
What do you think a Samsung Galaxy Whatchamajigger is made out of?
Uh-huh. It's a very high-polished piece of plastic.
No.
It's not a high poly. It's a high-polished piece of shit is what it is.
No. If you go back to Macworld last year, we had, or this year, we had my phone being held by a drunk dwarf who then dropped it on the floor, and the Nokia 1020 had Gorilla Grass 3 in it, when everyone else that stood there with their iPhones guffawing only had Gorilla Glass 2 in it. Theirs would have smashed. Mine didn't. Mine didn't even get scratched. So it's not plastic, dude. It's glass, I promise you. It feels a bit plasticky, I grant you, but it isn't.
Yeah, the case is often plastic. Really, you're right about that.
As you were telling that story, at one point you said Gorilla Grass, and now I'm imagining what that would be, and I'm really
Kelly, we have it here in Colorado.
That. Kelly, you are forbidden from wearing that shirt on the shows ever again. every time I look and glance and see it, it's like, oh, shit, what's going on with Skype? Now, you've got the pinwheel on your chest, haven't you?
Yeah.
You are not allowed to wear that on any BTN shows for the future, please. That's just so distracting. I've double-taked every time I've gone to you, girl.
I really wasn't trying to troll you.
No, it is.
It's just a comfy T-shirt. I got it from Panic.
There's nothing comfy about it, I can promise you. Absolutely promise you.
It's comfy to wear, so
yeah.
I just had that going for it.
I want to say a special thank you this week as well, because we haven't started doing it because we've got version 6 of Wirecast, and Telestream are the people who make Wirecast, telestream.net if you want to go and get anything from them. I haven't said anything for the last couple of weeks because I figured, you know, we're going to have some teething troubles, and we've had a couple of teething troubles with it, just with changes of the way it works and that kind of stuff. But I've got to say, the last couple of shows that we've done, it's been absolutely slick as not, and it's such a great improvement. They very kindly gave us a copy of version 6 Pro, which is like a $1,000 piece of software. They've given a version for me, or an edition for me for this studio, and also they've given one to Paul for the Northern Studio. So that's $2,000 worth of investment in BTN. Thank you so much to Telestream. Please go over and check out telestream.net and check out the great products that they've got on offer.
They do make stuff that's not $1,000 software.
Yeah, no, they do. They do some great stuff that's cheaper. But they are absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much to Janet and the team down there who've sent over the copies to us. It makes a huge difference for a little podcasting network that makes no real money out of it to get such a kind gift. So please check out telestream.net. They're absolutely brilliant. Now,
as a bonus, they are Don McAllister approved because he uses their software ScreenFlow to do all of his screencasts online.
Good piece of software. Right, now then, do you want to win this? This is a Sphero 2. It's from at GoSphero on Twitter, and it's dead easy. All you've got to do is go to gosphero.com/British Tech Network Giveaway with a hyphen between each of those words, and you could win this GoSphero. If you choose that you if you don't want to win the Sphero and you want to win the Ollie, you can have the Ollie instead. It's your choice. But this is our review unit, so this has been tumbled around on my carpet. There's no real marks on it or anything. But so if you'd like to win an Ollie or a Sphero, then please go to gosphero.com/British Tech Network Giveaway with a hyphen between each of those names, and you can win it. All you do is put your email address in there, and they will tell us who to send it to. Please specify as well in your email whether you want the Ollie or the Sphero. You can have either; it's your choice. But it is fantastic. I've had a load to play with it, and it's good.
The Sphero scares the crap out of my younger dog.
Oh, right, okay.
It's so much fun to just have that thing roll around, and he's like, what the?
I think it would be good, though, is you could get Greeny, and he could pretend that he's controlling it with his mind while you're behind the sofa with your iPhone.
The amazing thing on the Ollie is how freaking fast that thing
14
will go.
Miles an hour.
If you crank that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was uncool.
Really,
I still haven't got. I still haven't worked out how to control it yet. There's a real art to that, but
there is.
2 hours of charging gets you an hour of use in the Ollie. It's very good, very good, very good. And it goes ballistic as well. And the colours are the kids scream when it goes off, so they love it.
The other thing that people don't know about the Sphero or the Ollie, if you have kids and you want to get them into like programming, they have an app where you can actually. I think it's like there's a version of BASIC you can write little things to control and build programs to download into your Sphero or your Ollie.
Oh, that's
I haven't
brilliant.
Played around with
nice.
It yet, but I
yeah.
So they're using them in schools to do you know, computer classes and things like that.
That's good. I see if I can remember my BASIC.
Yeah.
1-0, go to 2-0. Oh, no, exactly. 10, CLS in it. That's it.
10, go to 10. No.
Yeah. I most of the programs I ever wrote in BASIC ended up with a syntax error on them, but I did write a cricket scoreboard once. That worked. Right.
I did an adventure game.
Really? Was it one of those go to the west, move to the right, pick up the look around kind of thing?
Yes. Yes, sure. It was good. It was based around this couple who went to Scotland and found themselves. They hitchhiked to Scotland and they found themselves in a haunted castle. While we're talking about adventure games, not that we were, but I suddenly...
Now we are.
Go on.
But suddenly.
Exactly. Check out, if you're interested in that sort of stuff, Get Lamp. It's a documentary all about sort of Infocom and the whole interactive fiction genre, which I particularly love.
Okay. Cool, mate. We're going to do the cool thing anyway. So, Kelly, start us off with your cool thing.
Okay, so I'm going to do a double pick because I don't think, because I want to cover my bases. So I know that at one point Andy Anatko picked the iWorks Bluetooth keyboard. And yep. So I'm going to pick it because I bought one. And it's pretty fantastic. I just took it to a conference, to Mac Tech in Los Angeles, and was able to do like all my note-taking and everything with my iPad and that keyboard, and with my iPhone and that keyboard on the plane. It was super reliable. It was really handy. It's a little bit wider than a regular keyboard, so it comes out to be almost the same size keys, so it's a little bit... It's a little bit of an adjustment if you're used to, you know, the Apple Wireless or whatever's on your laptop, but you can totally get the job done.
Has it got any extra letters or not?
Any what?
Extra letters, just in case.
No.
Because I was going to make a keyboard, I would make extra letters, just for fun.
What, Klingon or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Just on the end, for a bit of a laugh, just chuck them on there.
Okay, fair enough.
Sadly, there's no Klingon on this keyboard, but otherwise, it's pretty handy.
I'll get my coach, shall I?
And it fits in my bag, which is awesome. My Apple Wireless doesn't do that. And the other one I'm going to pick is a small battery pack. This one is, where'd it go? 2,800 milliamps, so it'll charge a phone, an iPhone, and once and change. And you can get them that have a flashlight in the end, but it's the reason I'm picking both of these is because both of them are less than $50. They're both less than $40, depending on which power bank you buy. And they're you can charge both of them using the same micro USB cable, and they make really awesome gifts. So if you know somebody who has a hard time typing with their with the keyboard on screen on an iPad, or you know somebody who is always complaining about not being able to get through a day without a charge on their phone, then these are a couple of ways that you can help those folks make their lives a little bit easier.
Excellent. Good pick. iBooker in the chat room says, my keyboard is clearly missing Elvish.
You could download a layout for it. It just doesn't have it on the letters itself.
Excellent. Good picks. Well done. Thank you. Mr. Sandy, what do you have for us?
Actually, I've got two things today. I see your keyboard, Kelly, and I'm going to raise you one. This is actually the new Logitech Keys to Go keyboard, and you can see it's very, very thin. It's very lightweight. It is made with what they call their fabric skin coating on it, which means that I can type and spill a beer on it, and it's still going to work.
Yay.
And it works with just about anything, iPhone, iPad. I've actually even paired it up with my iMac, and it worked just fine. It's about $70 in the U.S., and it is a surprisingly good keyboard. I got to give it like major thumbs up. It's a really nice little unit. I also have a software, and since this is the Mac show, we're going to talk a little bit about Mac, but a software pick, and it's from a company called 180G. You can find them at 180G.co. But their package Vellum has been out for, maybe a little over a year now. And Vellum is a application, Mac app, for creating ebooks for iBooks, Kindle, and Nook. And it really is about the easiest way that I know that you could actually get a book into a number of bookstores. So I give them a big thumbs up. The reason I'm talking about that is they just came out with a new version of it that adds some really needed features. So that's my two picks for the day.
Excellent, mate. Good ones. Thank you very much. Good stuff. Adam, what have you got for us, sir?
You know what? I'm going to jump to something that there's a lot of things that I have where I've, you know, had a piece of software that I've used for years and I kind of forget about it. And since I had my issue with my Mac this week and was kind of juggling things around, I was reminded that a utility I've used for years, and I don't know if someone's picked this in the past, so I may be doing a repick, but it's worth it, is an app called Bartender, which manages your menu bar icons. So many apps that we install, you know, little icons up into that upper right of your menu bar. And I first got it because I do, you know, presentations at user groups and things like that. And one time I was having an issue because, you know, I have my monitor at home, which is a certain size. But when I got to the projector, it resized everything down to a much smaller resolution. And I literally couldn't get to items in my menu bar because they were cut off by the main menu. So that everything just got truncated off. And so to solve that problem, I found this little app called Menu Bar. And what it does is it allows you to put certain icons in sort of a submenu bar. And then you get one little icon for Bartender and you click on that and then you can get to those other icons. And what's really great too is then it also has hotkeys so you can, you know, dynamically toggle it on and off. So if you want everything back in the main menu bar, you can put them back. And you can reorder things. You can have things show up or not show up. You can hide things. It just really makes dealing with a large number of menu bar items just easy and convenient. And plus, you know, we talked about my OCD a little bit earlier because I'm having this issue with the one of the icons not being in the right place, the system icons, but it helps with OCD too, because you can get a nice clean, you know, you put everything into it if you want and have nothing but the clock and sort of a few things up in your menu bar. So it's an awesome piece of software and I don't know how I lived without it. And it's become one of those things, again, that I just assume is installed on my system. And if it isn't, I have to get it installed immediately. So I'm going to make that my pick. Bartender.
It also manages your system icons. So if you don't like having some of that stuff up there that you can't remove, you can always stash it.
Like my Wi-Fi and my sound icon are not in the main menu bar. For me, I just have clock, calendar, you know, and I even move things like Time Machine down there because I know Time Machine's running. I don't need to see it spinning in my menu bar all the time.
Good one. So. Thank you. Excellent. Thomas, do you have a pick for us, sir?
Yeah, BitTorrent Sync is going to be my pick. They just announced yesterday BitTorrent Sync 2.0, which is coming in 2015. They're going to have an alpha soon for it, which is a paid service. But the free service is excellent. If you're using something like Dropbox or Box.net to sync files between multiple computers, and that's mostly what you care about rather than having like a cloud backup, BitTorrent Sync is definitely the way to go because there's no central server. The cryptographic keys are only shared between the devices that you authorize. You can still share files and folders with an HTTP link. And it's free, unlimited storage, free, keeps synced across mobile devices, laptops, desktops, all of that sort of thing. And the paid version is only going to be $40 a year, again, because they don't have to pay for servers or anything like that. Mm. And that's just going to add some management for people who have a lot of data, people who want to do terabyte size folders and stuff like that. They're going to make that a little easier. I don't know that much more detail about what's coming with that. But it's just a really good way to sync files across platforms.
That is good. Yeah, no, I like that idea.
So is it just for syncing between computers or is stuff actually stored in some cloud somewhere?
It's not stored in cloud anywhere. So if you've got, the way I look at it is if you've got it running on multiple computers, you're sort of using yourself as the cloud in that case.
It's a paid network again. So yeah, brilliant. Good one. Kyle, what do you have for us, sir?
I've got another app this week. It's called Satellite Safari. I think it's $2.99 in the App Store. And essentially what it does, it tracks satellites in real time above the Earth, and you can track all of them. It's actually really quite cool. You can zoom in. You can get a orbit view. You can get a sky view. It knows your location. So right now I'm tracking KoreaSat 5. Apparently that's something that's near me right now, so that's what it locked on to. And it literally tracks everything in real time as it's in orbit. You can even go into a satellite view of the actual, supposedly of what the satellite actually looks like. And there are all kinds. It's communication satellites, GPS satellites, everything that's above the Earth right now that makes our lives a little bit better. You can track
on
satellite
Safari. Does it look really crowded?
Oh, it looks like a landfill, but in a good way. Nice.
I'm going to download that just to look at it and go, oh, we're all going to die, and then realize that actually the satellite's about the size of Texas if I mm-hmm. don't zoom in. Yeah. Good one. Like that. Last but by no means, of course, least, Greeny Boy.
Right. Okay. My particular app. So I tried to pick Mac apps because this is a Mac show. But today I've gone for an iOS one. Do you like games?
Some, yeah.
Sure.
I hate them.
So was that Kyle with the I hate them?
Yeah,
that's me.
It's someone just being offensive, mate. You go ahead.
No, I'm just interested. Why do you hate games?
I don't. I'm just saying it just to be different.
Ah. Okay, well, fair enough. Well, I do, in the main, I love chess. So I play chess with my mate. Mm. It's called a program called Chess with Friends. I love If Monks Had Macs. There's a Dracula game called Dracula Resurrection, I think, by a French company, which I love, which only runs on OS 9. But in the main, I don't like I don't like games. I don't like killing people or doing all that sort of stuff driving a car or running around or all that sort of stuff. To me, that's not a game. It doesn't really stretch me sort of intellectually or whatever. And I know you're probably laughing at that, but you know what I mean? So I like games that make you think. And there are very few of them on the iOS market. So I would like to introduce, or maybe you're familiar with it already, It's a great that they're based in Switzerland. Oh, no, they're not. Sweden, sorry. And they've got quite a few games. The latest one is called Sailor's Dream. So Sailor's Dream, it's available for £2, I think, in the UK. And you don't actually do anything, really. That's it, really, I suppose.
wasn't that my pick last week?
You did pick
it's a great pick.
Greeny was non, yes, so that's fine.
Ah, ha, ha. And so
I concur.
So,
it's fabulous.
You repeat it.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of it?
It's great. It's one of those esoteric. I said, you know, I was mainly picking it because I had only played it a little bit, but I love those types of games too. Those sort of intellectual. I hadn't figured out exactly what the goal or the object was of it yet, and I kind of still haven't. You kind of go through and you're looking to collect, basically it seems like these songs, but it just artistically, it's one of these beautiful sort of art, visual and textual kind of experiences. So you're kind of getting to discover the narrative and story as you move through the game environment. So some people have compared it to kind of like a Myst. I haven't quite found that much of a puzzle element to it, per se, as much as you're sort of uncovering this story as you explore the environment. And it has, again, incredible visuals and really great audio that kind of weaves into the narrative. So I'm still trying to actually kind of figure it out, but it's, because I haven't had much time to go back and play with it because I've been dealing with some other technical issues over the past week and some projects I've been working on. But yeah, I mean, I love those sorts of things. It's gorgeous. You know, the other company that does a great job of this is the ones they did Around the World in 80 Days, and they did more recently a pirate one. I'll have to find the name of the company for you guys, but great stuff. You know, it harkens back to those days of Zork and more text-based sort of games.
Yes, it makes. I know the end. Do you want me to tell you the end?
No,
no.
But it's really nice that it sort of gently unveils the story of this. This sailor and this girl and stuff like that, and it's wonderful, really good. They do a couple of other games that I think is probably, if you look at their website, they've got about half a dozen. Another one that's very similar to it is called Year Walk, if you look on their website, which is
I haven't tried that one either. That got great reviews. I think it was like one of the top games of the year in iTunes for Apple. Like it was one of their picks.
I've just started it, and it's great, and I think the key thing is, so you're not blasting everybody's head off, and you're not driving a car, or you're not doing this or that. And it really sort of, for me, that's the purpose of gaming, is to stretch the imagination and really, you know, back in the day, it's like when I had my Spectrum, like you have Elite. So Elite has been remade and been brought out again. And that, again, stretched the imagination, and things like Fourth Protocol, which is a great game, which tied in with the book and stuff like that.
You should try the stuff from Inkle Studios. So those are the guys that make 80 Days, and they made Sorcery and Sorcery 2. And those are story-based games. So it's like, you know, as you go through it, you have to read. You actually have to read through the story, and then, you know, different things happen, and it's a lot like a kind of a choose your own adventure sort of thing. You know, you get to a point and it'll ask you, what do you want to do next? You do this A, B, or C, and then you sort of build out the narrative that way.
But you find it? I totally agree. Thank you for that recommendation. I mean, I used to have a sponsor called Trilobite who did Seventh Guest and all that on the podcast. And they sort of, again, mix the story with you know, the puzzles and stuff like that. But if you think about a game 10 years going forward, what are the games you remember? It's probably not the crappy shoot 'em ups. It's probably more the ones that made you think.
Mortal Kombat.
I have fond memories of playing Marathon and all those sorts of things.
Oh,
so.
Marathon.
Mm. Marathon was awesome.
Not everyone's the same as you, Greeny.
I like both genres. They stimulate
different strokes,
you know, you in different ways.
Good pick, mate.
David Thompson Decathlon, I mean, great memories.
Yeah, that didn't stretch your imagination. That stretched your fingers.
It bloody did.
It bloody didn't. It was a key pounder.
It got through quite a few joists.
It was
a little beauty.
You used to do the hurdles. It was.
We better move on, or we're never going to end this show.
Yeah, I used to get a thing as well where you could get like the keypad controller and you could wobble it like that to get the super speed on. So my cool thing is an iPhone case. I was looking around at iPhone cases because I don't like the expensive one from Apple. It doesn't really offer forward a lot of protection. And I thought I'll have one for taking out on railway tracks and stuff like that. So I bought this one. It's called the iBlason, iBlason. And it's available on Amazon with Prime on it. And it's a twin kind of a framed protection thing for your iPhone 6 Plus or 6. And it's really good. And it also comes with a belt clip thing that attaches on the back as well, which gives you the ability to store it screen in or screen out, up to you, on the belt clip. The other thing that's kind of cool is it comes with a little kickstand on the back of it. And you can have the kickstand out and put it down on the train and watch a bit of movie or something like that on the way. And I've really taken to this in the last 2 days I've had it. It's really, really good. Here's the best bit. As opposed to things like OtterBox, which is costing you like 70 or 80 bucks for it, this one is £10 with Prime on it. iBlason, iBlason. That's my cool thing. Well worth it. My cool thing would have been the GoPro 4, but that's not out yet. They pushed it back 2 weeks, you bastards, GoPro. Where can we get a hold of you, Kelly G?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me explaining all kinds of stuff over at themacobserver.com, where I also sometimes appear on the Daily Observations podcast. And you can check out the show that I do with Mike Rose called The After Show.
Thank you. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on iTunes, pretty much Maccast everywhere, Maccast on Twitter, etc. And I also do the iOS show with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Where are you, Greeny Boy?
TheBiblePart3.com.
Have you published a show yet?
Of course.
Oh, greenie.
All right. Well, you deserve
there's,
that.
There's 50. There's 50.
Yeah.
There's 50.
No, I 150 for him now.
You're a bastard. Because yeah. I spoke to you the other week, and you said, I'm going to post a show. It would be good for me to post a show. And I said, no, go for it, mate. That would be brilliant. So you obviously haven't.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm moving house.
Really?
I am. So it's all going on, and the new place has got a massive, when I say massive, I won't call it a shed because it's all, you know, waterproof and got electric and Wi-Fi and all that. It's bloody massive, it is. So it's going to be the new British Mac Studio, so I'm very excited about that. But I will publish a studio, publish a podcast before moving to the new studio, because my original plan was to be seller in this house, a studio, but that's all changed.
Are you moving
house to a great big five-bedroom house with my own studio, and I'm very excited.
Same area, or is it closer to Birmingham, or?
Oh, no, it's only about 2 miles up the road.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
Yeah.
Have you got internet there?
In the same place, pretty much. Overlooking the river, just a bit further down the river.
I own a bit of river. Have you got a mooring as well, then?
No, it's slightly above the river, same as here. Trouble with the Iron Bridge, though, it's all sort of slipping into the gorge. It's the whole thing he's been moving.
Get out before the next 1,000 years pass, mate. Well done. That's what I like. Forward planning.
Well, I'm happy with 10 years or 20 years, I suppose. I mean, how are you feeling now?
Well, not as good as I was 5 minutes ago. Thanks, mate. Mr. Merritt, where the hell are you?
TomMerritt.com, TomMerritt.com has all my stuff. But if you're interested in tech news, Daily Tech News Show is the show I do every day.
You employ like
at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
You employ like 2,000 people now, don't you?
No, just me and Jenny. But I do have two regular contributors now.
I thought
so
you were getting
four,
ready.
Very close, very close.
I thought you were getting ready to buy out Time Warner.
Yeah, right. Nah, I'll let Comcast deal with that.
Okay. Mr. Sandy, where are you?
I'm still over at the unofficial Apple weblog at tuaw.com, and I can be found on Twitter as at Stephen Sandy, StevenSande.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. And last but by no means least, Mr. Swags, where the hell are you?
You can find me 5 days a week doing the new show here on BTN. You can find me at KyleSwagger.com, on Twitter at KyleSwagger, and if you're in the Philippines, you find me on NBA Premium TV 7 days a week.
Great Johnny Rotten today, mate. Well done.
Oh, thank you. Oh, no, we actually had Johnny come in.
Oh, he did. It was him. Right. Yeah, no. I thought it was you doing a crap impression, so do apologize.
No, it's just Johnny doing a crap impression.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Next show to be recorded is going to be the Pocket Show on Monday night, live at 8 p.m. And that is a fantastic show. If you haven't listened to it, you've got to listen. It's iOS versus Windows versus Android. Person from each platform, and it's a fantastic roundtable discussion with Paul Wheatley. Tune in to britishtechnetwork.com/live at 8 p.m. on Monday, and get in the chat room at irc.geekshed.net at hashtag British Tech Network. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Super. That was a good voice.
Thank you.
Good time as always.
Fun.
Thank you.
Sorry about the tech issues at the start. I've got a cold at the moment, and it's just kind of like hanging in my head. And I was like, shall I cancel? No. Everyone's getting up early. I better not. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's perked me up no end doing the show. Thank you.
I'm good.
No, it always does. It's like, oh. And then when I get into it, it's like, yeah, this is the best thing in the world.